Hello and welcome to Profiles in Risk. This is your host, Tony Canyas, and today I have with me Jeremy Keating, director at thepricewriter.com. Jeremy, thank you for joining me today. How's it going?
Hello, Tony. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, it's going really well.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And according to LinkedIn, you are in London.
Well, the UK, that's right.
Okay. So in the UK, we're recording on October 10th. So at this point, I'm guessing cold and dreary.
Yeah. It's surprisingly mild at the moment. So it's a bit wet. It's about 10 degrees centigrade. So it's cool. Yeah.
Okay. So cooling down, but not horrific.
It's not cold yet. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. So Jeremy, we always give the guest the chance to give the elevator pitch. What is thepricewriter.com?
Yes, The Price Writer is a GI pricing services company. So we work with leaders in GI pricing to solve their problems. So we want to make them the most successful and highly valued that they can be. And we do that using the Price Writer 9-step method.
Okay, GI, out of the many...
GI, General Insurance, say P&C. Yeah, for the American audience, that's P&C.
Okay, General Insurance.
GI, yeah, okay, so General Insurance, say Property and Casualty.
Okay, basically, so you work with the carriers that do Property and Casualty, or General Insurance, and help them price things correctly.
Yeah, that's right. So we work mostly with the leaders of pricing teams. So in the past kind of 20 years, it's gone from being fairly niche to being pretty big area now. I mean, some pricing teams are rivaling, well, they're often bigger than the underwriting teams.
Really?
They're starting to rival the size of sales and even claims.
That is crazy because there are not that many actuaries, at least not on our side of the pond.
No, well, it's not really an actuary thing nowadays. That's the thing. It's very much an area that's mostly data scientists, data engineers. We've got a lot of programmers, coders, testers as well. So I think it's an area where the UK leads a bit because we've probably got the most sophisticated pricing going on. But a lot of Europe and the US and other parts of the world are catching up to us as well. So you're right, it's not, there's some actuaries in it, but my estimate in the UK is probably fewer than half, maybe even fewer than three quarters of pricing people are actuaries now.
Wow, okay. So what is the 9-step formula
What we found is that most people working in this area focus on modeling, which is kind of the actuarial bit. But in fact, to be good at general insurance pricing, we identified there's eight other areas. So the areas we say you need to be good at are strategy, data, analysis, enrichment, deployment, modeling, governance, capability, and tools. So each of those nine areas, we identified about an average of 10 key problems that someone leading a pricing team has, and we then map that to solutions and things we can do with them to solve those problems.
Okay. So it's not a software, it's more of a consulting.
Yeah, we do consult, so we help effectively. It's funny you should say software, because tools is very much focused around the software that people use in their pricing team to actually do the work. So it's about the infrastructure that you have your pricing on. And we advise insurers, carriers, and agents on the software that they should be using. So it used to be fairly basic. You didn't really have many options. But actually, there's been quite the explosion in the last sort of decade or so of providers of pricing software, and indeed, really any software, analytical software, your data, your platforms to put that on. So we advise our clients on their needs and which provider they should go to seek their pricing software.
Okay, so basically it used to be simpler, and now you probably do need somebody that understands kind of the breadth of all the available tools, and that is focused on more than just the actual modeling piece.
Yeah, that's right. So back when I started out kind of 15, 20 years ago, there was only a few of us in a pricing team, and it was pretty easy to choose things like software and pretty easy to choose what we would be working on. Whereas now it's just so much more complicated, and it's quite difficult when you run a team. It's difficult really even to admit that you don't know every piece of software that's out there and what they can do for you and which the right one is. So we've got experience and knowledge of them, and we've got links to a lot of the companies that provide the software, so we can answer those questions and help people find the right one. Because you know, these are big decisions and expensive pieces of software that people need to make, and they need to bring a lot of other departments with them as well. So other people might well be interacting with that software too, like marketing, IT, sales, underwriting. So we have to make sure we take on board their needs as well.
Okay, so is there a specific part of the journey at when they tend to bring you on, or does it vary at a ton?
Yeah, it kind of varies really. So we do a lot of different things for people, and we've got a lot of links to companies here in the UK and a few in Europe as well. So it can be lots of areas we're brought on for when people identify that they've got an issue and they need help with it. So, you know, I'll give you an example. There's someone we're working with at the moment. They want to develop their analysis, an MI to improve that. So they currently have kind of their data systems, and they have sales MI, but they want to develop more out on their profitability tracking, so they know when they're taking pricing actions, how that filters through into their loss ratio, and make sure they're making the right decisions and quickly as well. So we're helping them. We're designing their MI solution for them. And that's another example of what we do. Enrichment's been a good area for us. So when we talk about enrichment, we really mean anything that the pricing department gets from outside of their area. So direct enrichment is where they literally look data up from another provider. So it could be checking somebody's credit records, or that they definitely own the property they say they do, or maybe attributes about the property or their vehicle or their workplace, the employer, the buildings, really anything that they look up directly. And then there's your indirect enrichments. This is where we're using reports and market knowledge and outside experts. When I first came into this, there was a tendency really not to learn very much about the things that we are pricing. And I know that sounds a bit strange, but I can remember a conversation with someone I used to work with, and I said I wanted to learn more about the item we were insuring at the time. And his attitude was very much, I can remember exactly what he said, in fact. He was like, "Well, the maths we use would work if we insured rubber bands from snapping, so you don't really need to know anything about it." And that was very much the attitude. But nowadays, people actually really accept that we should be developing that knowledge. It's not just something that should sit with underwriting claims. We need expert knowledge in pricing as well. Because ultimately, the more you know about an item, the better you can be at actually understanding the risk that goes with it and how we should be setting prices.
Okay, and I see that you've got a podcast. Tell me about the podcast and who should subscribe to it.
Yeah, that's right. So the podcast is called Outstanding Claims with the Price Writer. And it's we interview pricing leaders, so leaders in general insurance, P&C pricing, and we always ask them the same three questions. So it's based around their origin, so how did they get where they are today? It's their mission, so what are they currently doing? What do they want to achieve? And their vision, so where do they see us going in the future? And really, it's for anyone that works in general insurance pricing that wants to learn more about it, find out what's going on, and hear what the leaders have got to say and their story for how they got where they are.
Makes sense, makes sense. What since you're working kind of on the leading edge, with the UK being ahead on pricing, and what do you see? What do you predict is coming? Is generative AI going to have an effect? What else is? I'm back. I don't know what happened.
Cool, lost you there, Tony. I don't know if that was you or me.
Yes, it was on my side. My browser crashed. I don't know why. So what I was saying is will generative AI or any other technology have an effect? What are you expecting kind of for the future of pricing next, let's say, 5 to 10 years?
The future of pricing is very much more accuracy in the prices, so getting the price right for each individual customer. So we're not bad at this now. I mean, sometimes people suggest we are, and that's just not true. We're very good, and we've been really at the forefront of a lot of the big data and the data science things in the pricing area. I know often it doesn't feel like it with insurance companies, but people might be surprised. So, but that's the future. It's more accuracy, more about individualizing the customer's price, much more in the area of usage based. So, particularly in vehicles, how often are people using them? And you see areas where this has taken off, like fleets, so commercial vehicles where companies have got multiple vehicles. The idea of monitoring and tracking them is very much taken hold, and that's pretty much normal now. And you see that filtering into other areas. You see it in your property insurance as well. So it's been bigger in the commercial space. You find with a lot of commercial property, they already have things like leak detectors, they've already got the clever fire alarms. That begins to filter into the sort of personal area as well, and very much getting more and more accurate in people's risk. And there's loads of tools for doing that. The overall strategy, the overall vision is moving towards pricing everyone at the exact right price. But there's AI, as you mentioned, there's machine learning is still there. There's ever more data. It's interesting because I had a conversation with a startup recently, and they were talking about, oh, what clever, intelligent modeling can we do? And I was like, well, modeling is important, but actually getting more data about people is often the big change in the way that you get more accurate. I often use the example of which would seem more important to you, a clever, if you're insuring, say, a house, a property, what's more useful to you, knowing its flood risk, its wildfire risk, how far above the water table it is, how close to a forest it is, this information, or some piece of clever modeling on just some questions you ask the customer. It seems pretty obvious what you need. It's a mixture of both, but what you need is more information and good modeling together.
Here in the US, what I've seen is nowadays we have data for anything you can imagine, right? Finding it, and I think the hardest part is getting it digested into your system and actually priced in and past the regulators, or past the regulators, wrong way to put it, and get approved by the regulators is kind of the harder part. Is it the same in the UK and Europe, where there's now more than enough data on just about anything you can imagine about every property?
Yeah, I mean, there's really three things there. So, yeah, there is absolutely loads of data, but people keep adding more all the time. There's so much more going on. And what you find is some stuff is well advanced in one country, and then another country catches up and starts doing that one as well. And the granularity. So here in the UK, we've often been quite lucky. We've got our zip codes are for about 10-ish houses, which is really granular compared to other countries. But other countries are catching up as well, getting data really at the level of the property. When it comes to working with the regulators, yes, you do need to be able to prove that the data you're using is good for actually measuring that risk. And we've got more regulation on actually making sure we're treating customers well with the information that we use. And it's similar in the US. So you want to be using information that treats customers in a fair way that isn't detrimental to people for hot topic, that isn't detrimental to people for unfair discrimination or any treatment like that. So we do have to be very careful over what we use and make sure that it's of a good standard, and ultimately that we're comfortable with it, and also that we can explain it. So I often say that when it comes to explaining to the customer, there's really no substitute for getting the pricing guys involved in that. So you will find occasionally customers will ask questions, queries, possibly complaints over how their price has been set. I think it's good to get the pricing team involved in that, not necessarily interacting directly with the customer, but certainly interacting directly with the customer service or the complaints team to actually discuss that with them. I find it similar to there's an anecdote in Silicon Valley about getting early stage startups, getting the coders and programmers to deal with customer queries, complaints, and bugs, because once they have to answer the phone and talk to the customers, the bugs disappear. And I tend to find it's a bit the same in pricing. Once you're on the receiving end of customer services questions, those issues tend to disappear.
That's kind of brilliant. That is kind of brilliant for sure. Jeremy, thank you very much for your time today. Very, very interesting. I've never worked in pricing, but I've attended plenty of actuarial conferences, and I knew that data science was becoming a big deal. I had no idea that pricing was getting quite this complex. So very, very, very interesting stuff. For the listeners, on the show notes, I'm including Jeremy's LinkedIn and the company website, which is super easy, literally thepricewriter.com. Any conferences that you normally attend where they might be able to find you in person?
Well, we actually ran our first pricing leaders conference just a few weeks ago at the end of September. So what I found is that there isn't enough events that I think are particularly tailored to people that work in pricing. Things can often be quite generic, or they're kind of combined in insurance, banking, and things like that. So what we wanted to do was offer something that really is about being useful for people's jobs. Not just concepts and theories, but actually, how do I do my work better? So we had 20 pricing leaders from UK companies along, and we very much looked at that. So we looked at parts of the Price Writer method. We looked at the future of modeling. We looked at how we should be building our teams, so what balance of skills we should get in. We also looked at electric vehicles. That's becoming something that's growing bigger and bigger as a segment of the market. So it's new risks developing. And we also looked at the Internet of Things, so telematics and vehicle and household and all this other data coming in. So we did that recently. So that's a conference that we're running because we felt that that's what people need.
That's going to happen again next year?
Yes, we've got that on next year, and we're also thinking we might run a larger conference as well. And I'm going to start doing some regular master classes, so kind of once a month for about an hour. We'll cover different parts of the 9-step method, and it's really to push people along and help them and give them information, all free. So the masterclasses are free. So we're hoping to do them kind of once a month to help people develop their skills.
Okay, fantastic. So for the listeners, follow Jeremy on LinkedIn or connect with Jeremy on LinkedIn. Check out thepricewriter.com and follow the podcast to keep abreast of upcoming conferences and free masterclasses. Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time today.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot, Tony. You have a good day.